This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm Suzanne Williamson, and with me today is...
Liam Smart.
Well, Liam, how are you doing today?
I'm well. It's now been 6 weeks since I've had a massage, and my body is giving up on me. Because all the massage places are shut, and I have to get a remedial massage every 4 weeks, otherwise I'll become like... I guess that tardigrade in Discovery, when it like shrinks all up.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be the shrinky tardigrade. You want to be the big, fluffy tardigrade.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe not fluffy.
I don't think it is fluffy.
I mean, you're going to be in quarantine for too long, you get too fluffy.
Okay. We turn into some form of tribble.
Yes. Just eating and other things repeatedly.
Yeah. What about you? How are you doing? How are you holding up?
I have not killed my husband yet, so that is good.
Is he working still at the moment?
Yes, he is. He's working from home.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So I have the husband and the two-year-old, and sometimes I cannot tell them apart.
No, that's pretty mad. I'm a bit fortunate in that my life hasn't really changed too much because... I'm one of those essential workers, not a one that's worthwhile. Like, I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but I'm at the bank and people need to come in for money and all sorts of bits. But at the same time, it's still pretty sad to see lots of people losing their jobs and so on.
Yes, it is. It is very sad.
Yeah. But we thought, with everyone in quarantine, what are we going to do today, Suzanne?
I thought we should come up with a list of episodes that we go to for when we're feeling down or just stuck in a place and something to lift our spirits.
Mm. Okay. So we're going to do a quarantine top episodes?
Yes, a quarantine list. I couldn't think of anything snappier to say than that, so I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, how about just quickly before we start, we had some Voyager news this morning, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Which
happy,
is rare
happy
because
news.
Voyager doesn't get any news. It's all Star Trek Picard and Star Trek Discovery, but we have some Voyager news thanks to our favourite forever ensign and our dashing young helmsman.
Yes, Garrett and Robert have announced they are going to be doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. Not just any kind of podcast. It's going to be a watch-along, behind-the-scenes, everything-that-happened type of podcast.
That'll be quite amusing to listen to, I reckon, especially with episodes such as The Shoot and where it's had a lot of, oh my God, can you imagine the Bride of Chaotica one? or anything to do with, like, the 50s, whatever it was called, Captain Proton.
Or even before and after.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you are my uncle? I don't know. I don't know what the family
best friend,
tie was there.
Son-in-law. That's it, a son-in-law.
That'll be very interesting to see. I'm very excited for that. We did say that we might as well quit the podcast because everyone will go over there and listen to them, but Garrett did tell us not to quit. So, everyone, you are stuck with Suzanne and I and Zach for the foreseeable future.
Ha ha.
So, yeah, that podcast is called The Delta Flyers, which will be out, apparently, the first episode in May. So, I would suggest, being fans of Voyager that you all are, you go and take a listen to it. I know we will. It gives me something to listen to in the car because at the moment I'm stuck listening to podcasts about natural disasters, which I do like, but I almost cried in the car on the way to work this week listening to one about the Okeechobee Hurricane. It was 1920-something. That was pretty sad.
It was. Not that I was there for it, but I did live in Florida.
I mean, you don't look old enough. Where haven't you lived? You've lived everywhere then, haven't you?
Alaska. I haven't lived in Alaska. I haven't lived in Australia.
Yeah, but I mean in America.
Oh. Most of the Midwest and a lot of the West Coast. More of an East Coast gal, except for Vegas.
But isn't the West Coast like California?
Yes.
So you've lived within, but you're on the East Coast now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Your country's got too many places to go to. We've got like 6 cities and that's it.
But it looks much bigger on a map.
It's about the same width, Australia and the US.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just so spread apart by nothing. So, yeah. Anyway, now, with these quarantine episodes, I've been a bit naughty. Mm-hmm.
Of course you have.
Because I'm not very good at doing what I'm told. So I've made a list of episodes that are split into 4 separate lists. Because I thought in quarantine you go through a few stages. You don't just be like you're stuck at home and in the same mood. So I've made 4 separate lists based on the different moods and stages you probably go through in quarantine. Or in lockdown. Okay. Now, I can't say that I fully understand the different stages because in South Australia, we're pretty safe in terms of there's not much going on in terms of COVID-19. But from what I can tell on Facebook for people in America and on Twitter, these are sort of a similar sort of thing. So I figured at the beginning, you're like, yeah, I'm at home. I'm all at home, get to do whatever I want to do. Let's joke about the coronavirus because we're all in a good mood, etc. And then after the first few days, you're like, ugh, I'm kind of getting bored, you know? So then you kind of need some boredom squashing episodes. And then after a couple of weeks, you get super lonely and you haven't seen anyone and super emotional and you want to start looking at the emotional episodes. And then finally, after a few weeks in quarantine, you've probably just gone absolutely loopy and you basically can make head and tail of anything you want to and make it work. So I split my lists into those. So for my list, you might want to decide which one you want. Boredom squashes, beginner episodes, emotional episodes, or the crazy ones. I kind of like my emotional ones. I think I'm more proud of that one.
Okay, well, since you're proud of that, I was going to say crazy, but you're proud of the emotional, so go
for it. I'll let you know what the other ones are, but we'll go through the emotional ones.
I only have one list.
Okay. Well, your list probably encompasses everything.
Yeah. It hits different levels of where I was at certain points so far.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, why don't you kick us off with your first pick, Suzanne?
Okay. My first pick was when I was feeling a bit nostalgic, looking towards the past, saying, oh, yeah, I would have liked to have done that again. And I had to go with Future's End.
Okay. You want to do that to 1996?
Back towards the 90s. Yes. Back in the 90s, crazy hair, not a worry in the world.
Did you have crazy hair in the 90s?
I did.
What did you have? Oh, this could be interesting.
It was purple for a while, pink for a while. Then I went jet black, and then I just stayed with red.
Okay. Did you get a mohawk or anything like that?
I didn't. I used to put it up in like a faux hawk sometimes, but never like a true mohawk.
Were you like a punk girl, were you?
I wouldn't classify myself as punk. I was just trying to be different.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. See, Future's End would be a good one because you've got two parts to that. So that could kill an hour and a half instead of 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And you get to see a lot of the crew out of uniform, trying to blend in, get Tuvok being a Freakosaurus.
That's a good episode because I really liked Rainn Robinson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Sarah Silverman is amazing. I love her.
Yeah. No, she was awesome. My number one pick in my emotional episodes category, because I'm so emotional now being in quarantine, or at least I'm pretending to be, was the episode one.
Oh, I love that episode so much.
Yeah, because that's got 7 of 9 basically on her own. And that's what a lot of people are facing at the moment, being alone on their great big starship of a house. And it's just interesting to see that she goes through all the stages that a lot of people are probably going through right now. I mean, my nan is in the UK. She's 85. And yeah, she hasn't seen anyone in weeks.
That's got to be rough.
She's going mad. Because my uncle lives 30 miles away. And they're not allowed to drive anywhere for no reason. And yeah, so she's getting food delivered to her, but she's getting a bit lonely. And she's probably like hallucinating aliens and stuff like that, like Seven did.
Well, I hope she isn't hallucinating aliens. I'd be a little more worried if she started doing that.
Yeah. So that's where I thought I'd go down for my first pick in my emotional time being 2 weeks into quarantine.
Oh, now I'm all kinds of sad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm making emotional ones. That's the point. You're meant to be like spreading out your emotions everywhere and crying your eyes out and then laughing and then loving. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So have you got a pick-me-up episode for number two of you or something?
No, it's not really a pick-me-up episode.
Oh, good. We're gonna get even sadder?
Well, no, it's just it's different. I went with, since I'm with Logan a lot more these days because he's not going to preschool, we're reading a lot more stories and I'm coming up with a lot more stories to tell him.
Oh, so have you started coming up with season two of our rewrite, have you?
A little bit.
Oh, okay. I look forward to that.
Although I really want to bring in somebody from season three, but I just have to wait for that.
Yeah, we just have to wait.
I know. It's hard to do. So with coming up with different stories, I was thinking, oh, The Haunting of Deck 12.
Oh, that's a good one. That's actually quite a fun little episode just to sit and watch on its own right with Neelix and the kids.
Especially if they don't know that if it's real, and by the end they're like, oh, no, yeah, I knew it was fake the whole time. And oh, to see the reveal at the end with Neelix going up and talking to the captain and they're looking at the nebula on the view screen. They're like, well, I hope he lives happily ever after. I'm like, oh, yeah. It was true.
See, what was it in the end? It's been a while since I've seen Haunting of Deck 12.
It was a nebula that came onto the ship and took over like a deck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tried to bring it back, but the coordinates, the rest of the nebula disappeared.
Oh, is this the one where it was talking to Janeway and she was in like a turbo?
Yes, and it was trying to keep her on the ship where everybody else got off.
Yes, that's right. I remember now. It's been a while since I've, to be honest, it's been a while since I've actually watched Voyager all the way through. It's probably been about 3.5-4 years. Just because since then I've watched DS9 and TNG and Enterprise all the way through. But I just pick out random Voyager episodes from time to time. Or I randomly, like, generate a number. Be like, oh, look, it's this episode. Which is how I came up with Bliss the other week. And I just, did not remember it until it was the telepathic picture plant.
I love that episode. But going back to The Haunting of Deck 12, it's true when you come up with stories for children, they're usually based upon something to start with.
Yeah.
So it was just neat to see Neelix doing that and telling the kids this story. It was all based upon the truth.
Well, I mean, it's like some of the other episodes we get in Voyager. They're very stereotypical. This is almost like a stereotypical child's horror sort of episode. Like, it's not scary to someone our age, you know, being the youthful 25-year-olds that we are. Not quite, sadly. But for someone who's, you know, like 8 or 15, however old the kids were, you know, it's just fun to watch.
A little boogeyman story for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what is your second emotional episode?
I wanted to go for a bit of love, and this might get you a little excited. I wanted to see a little bit of love between a couple of characters, but it's not resolutions. Oh, the disappointment in your face. No, it's Day of Honor.
This just fell. Oh, okay.
Day of Honor. Mainly for that last little scene at the end of it, which I've always loved, when Tom and B'Elanna are stuck in the vacuum of space and they're dying and have to worry about all their oxygen. And it's just like, oh, this is like the point where they really are just like, yeah, we love each other.
But only one of them says it.
Yeah, but you can tell, though. I mean, it's only...
I know, it's like the I love you, I know episode.
Yeah, well, that's what I do with Jordan. I love you, and I go likewise. So, you know.
Ditto.
I mean, I'm not emotionally stunted. It's just funny to wind him up. It just goes to show that, like, B'Elanna does have those feelings that we all knew she had, and she's finally admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since the weird things of blood fever, you know?
Yeah.
Whilst that was an interesting episode to see their relationship sort of grow, especially at the end of Blood Fever, Day of Honor to me sort of solidified it. And then I guess it came up a little bit after that that she did actually mean what she said in the vacuum of space just before they die. I don't know. I just kind of like it. It's just
I'm
going to
tell you I love you just before I die, not a minute sooner.
It's like, at least I don't have to deal with the ramifications if I'm dead. Well, that backfired.
Or maybe she was just like, at least I don't have to hear him not say it if we're going to die.
So what you're saying is next time that we ask someone to marry them, or anyone who asks someone to marry them, they should do it on death's door of like some kind of crazy adventure, or like jumping off a bungee jump.
Yes, you're in the middle of being eaten by a shark or something.
I love you, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yes.
It's like, oh, all right. Just put me on your life insurance first, please. Yeah, no, it's just a warm and fuzzy episode, I think that one is.
Except for the whole losing of the warp core.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not what you're watching this episode for, really.
How many times did Voyager jettison the warp core?
Oh, way too many times. I can't even remember how many times. It's been stolen as it got shoved out and... I mean, it's also really long and thin. Like, I really enjoy the scenes where the Voyager's warp core does actually get ejected.
It's neat to see, but you would think it being ejected so many times, something would break off and it wouldn't fit back in correctly.
We'd assume so, but, you know, magic. Just get that weird magic device.
Tool.
Yeah, from Picard.
The sonic screwdriver.
The ocarina of whatever it is. You know. So what was your third pick, Suzanne? I mean, join us, because we haven't actually crossed over yet.
No, we haven't. My third pick was when I was feeling a little low. I'm just like, you know, everything that's going on is the worst case scenario. Like, oh. So then I'm like, I need me some Seska.
Oh, we all need some Seska.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seska will make me feel better.
That episode was in my boredom squasher list.
Oh, okay. Boredom squasher. Which, I mean, you could see the crew of Voyager needing an escape.
Yeah, escape from COVID-19.
Or their type of quarantine, being in the Delta Quadrant.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're quarantined in the Delta Quadrant. That would be mad.
They are quarantined in the Delta Quadrant. They need an escape. There you go. Worst case scenario. Let's go play a game. Not knowing that it was a trap.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Admiral Akbar. It's a trap.
I mean, anytime we see Seska in an episode, anytime we see Martha Hackett as well, like, that's one of those characters that I wish they didn't move off in season one and two to be with the Kazon so we could actually keep her. She needed to be the Garrick. And I know that would have been, well, not necessarily like Garrick, but she needed to be that character that blurs the lines a lot more.
Yes.
And that might be why we've kept her in our own little rewrite of
Most Voyager. Definitely. Because she is awesome.
I mean, what do you think of worst case scenario as an episode overall? I think it's one of the best episodes just because it's quite imaginative in what can go wrong with a holodeck.
Mm-hmm. It took the holodeck malfunction to a believable place.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the holodeck malfunctions we've seen have been like, oh, come on, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That and Chakotay and Leather. I'm there.
Oh, yes. Okay, fine. Oh. I'm surprised your list isn't just every episode where Chakotay wears leather.
That would be my super happy playlist.
That would be your midnight
playlist. That is not for quarantine times.
It could be. Could be the 2 a.m. wake up call playlist.
Don't bother me. I'm watching Chakotay.
This is my Chakotay happy hour.
Moving on.
Oh,
to your number three, emotional.
Okay. Oh, so I've done one, which was a very sad episode and lonely episode. I've done Day of Honor, which is a cuddly sort of one. How about one where Janeway dies a lot? How about we go for Coda?
Coda's good. We get Chakotay revealing his emotions about her.
Yeah.
Without really, you know, saying the words.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little bit of fuzziness in that, but seeing the main character of a show that you love die a lot is quite nice. I don't think nice is the, maybe nice is not the quite the right word, but it's nice that you know that she's going to be fine at the end of it. Do you know what I mean? No?
I do know what you mean, but yeah, I don't like seeing her die over and over. I don't think she was too keen on it either.
I mean, I suppose technically she didn't actually die. Wasn't most of it in her head because of an alien or something?
Yeah, the spider alien dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, she didn't die, but she did. You know, I'm enjoying it. I just enjoy watching her die.
I don't know how to take that.
Didn't she see her father as well? It's just a good episode. This is me sort of forgetting what's technically happening because I haven't seen it for a while. I just remember it's an episode that is made me quite emotional. She came down with a virulent strain of the Vidian phage, though, didn't she?
That's pretty awful.
So technically there's a coronavirus sort of link there.
Well, yeah, I guess the phage would be the coronavirus of the Delta Quadrant.
Actually, yeah, the phage is the COVID-19 of the Delta Quadrant, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so, I mean, realistically, that's just an episode that invokes a lot of emotion in me every time that I watch it. And I figured that when I'm an emotional one, I need to cry if we ever get put into that quarantine stage in South Australia, that I probably would watch in my 2-week mark of being in quarantine.
That episode has a super happy ending, though.
It does. So, see, it invokes a lot of emotion. Sad because Janeway died in her head. Happy because, you know, she's fine and Chakotay loves her and blah, blah, blah.
They're going on a moonlit sail, like George, champagne. Yeah, it's a definite happy ending. Mm.
did Chakotay get his happy ending, do you think? I see what you're trying to do there. Naughty Miss Williamson.
That's me.
Wow. What is your pick number four?
My fourth pick, I went with another two-parter.
Oh, see, is this cheating if we're going two-parters? I mean, this is
no, it's the Delaney rule.
Oh, that's okay. Yep, sure, the Delaney rule it is. Fine. Go for it.
I was thinking I really want to watch Voyager, but I want to see them doing something different. I don't want to just see the captain being the captain and so on and so forth. So, The Killing Game.
Oh, yeah. I love The Killing Game. That's also on my boredom squasher list.
We get to see a Klingon Janeway, a Klingon Neelix. We get to see Seven of Nine, the femme fatale singer. Tuvok just being a bartender. It's good stuff.
Tuvok is the Guinan of World War II.
And of course, Chakotay is Captain Miller in his fatigues, calling Janeway a gung-ho kind of gal.
She is a gung-ho kind of gal.
She is.
She's a bloody awesome girl. See, any time that an actor in a show plays their character through a different character, I always find that intriguing, just like when Captain Janeway played Shannon O'Donnell in 1159. And I enjoy the episode where she's also assimilated. It's just interesting to see them as Borg, even though it was a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, because they weren't really Borg, but they were Borg, but not really.
Yeah, they were just in the makeup. I think it's just sometimes fun to see them in makeup, really, because we're so used to seeing them as one character. Klingon Janeway is just funny.
I love Klingon Janeway. The bad part is poor Harry doesn't get to partake of any of this and is stuck just fixing the ship the entire time.
I think Garrett Wong was pretty pissed about that.
I would have been.
I mean, Garrett Wong was unhappy that he felt that it was one of those episodes that were really important in the season, like one of the really big episodes, and he seemed to miss out on having anything decent to do because, let's face it, he was still in his uniform, he was being knocked around by the Hirogen. When he had all the other characters playing, I'm like a World War II soldier, or I'm like a wonderful singer that we all know Jerry Ryan is.
Yeah, he just got to be Greasy Harry.
Greasy Harry. And the fact that we also had Roxanne Dawson's pregnancy played into that is quite cool as well. But that's you going for another two-parter to fill in some time.
Another awesome thing is Robert Picardo's performance in the episode, where he has to go into the program and get the Klingons to unite behind him in fighting the Nazis.
That was funny, wasn't it?
Yes. It's like, tally-ho.
I mean, that's what I say sometimes at work when I tell someone that I need them to do something. Come on, tally-ho. So, should we go for my fourth choice?
Yes, what is your fourth emotional choice?
Child's Play.
Why am I not remembering Child's Play? I know it's an episode title, but I cannot remember it for the life of me.
Yeah, so the episode where we find out that Icheb was actually a... basically a weapon to try and destroy the Borg, and the Brenali used him. That was so upsetting. And I guess if you want to watch that now, knowing that Icheb dies in Star Trek Picard, and that's now past the time for spoiler alerts, so if you haven't watched it, whatever. You know, so, I mean, it just sort of brings a little bit extra emotion to the character of Icheb, knowing that he was originally a weapon, and then he died for being assimilated and for parts, you know? Always makes me upset when a parent basically abuses their child for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, physical abuse just because they're a horrible person, or mental abuse in terms of trying to force them into being something that they're not, or, you know, abusing them for being a weapon to try and destroy a part biological, part mechanical, homicidal race of aliens.
I do think their choice of actor to play Icheb's father was brilliant.
Yeah. Why is that?
Mark Shepard fit that role perfectly. He just plays such a good bad guy. And his dad was the alien dude in Bliss.
Yeah, no, he did a really good job of playing the Brenali dad. Can't remember his name, like Lewis or Lou Con or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
But no, he did a good job. I swear I've seen the actor in other things. I can't remember where, but it was just a very heart-wrenching episode to me.
It was very, because you did not expect that to be Icheb's story.
No. And
at all.
It's just, you just feel so sad for Icheb. And I think that's one of my favorite Icheb stories. I know a lot of people go into liking Imperfection because he got rid of his cortical node. But to me, Child's Play was one of my favorite Icheb episodes. Plus, Icheb's kind of cute, even if he is playing a child. He was older in real life.
Yes, he was older.
That's what I have to tell myself. I'm like, are they legal? You know, so, I mean, that's why I've chosen. I've chosen quite a few episodes in my emotional phase of quarantine that would make me upset because I feel like I would just need to bawl it all out for a while and then come back together with some fuzziness.
I can understand that.
What is your fifth and final pick?
My fifth and final pick. Something I needed just to make me laugh and to fill the void of Romulans since Picard has gone off the air for now. And that's going to be Message in a Bottle.
Oh, really?
I get laughs and I get Romulans. I'm happy.
Why does it make you laugh?
Robert Picardo together with Andy Dick.
Mm-hmm.
I could not have come up with a better pairing for the two EMHs.
They play off of each other really well, eh?
Extremely well.
That would make you laugh.
And Andy Dick just plays uptight so well.
You've gone for a very, very diverse list of episodes here. I was not expecting
It's eclectic.
I was definitely not expecting Haunting a Deck 12.
Yeah, that just fit with what I was doing. Telling stories.
Now, Message in a Bottle was a cool episode. I was actually expecting you to almost, before you said Romulans, to say Blink of an Eye. Or Blink of the Eye. Sorry. I don't know.
Pardon? That doesn't give me laughs.
No, I don't know. But see, I find it funny. I don't know why. I just find it funny watching us go through from, you know, or watching an alien species go through everything that humans have gone through in the space of 45 minutes in terms of, like, ages.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just find things...
I've seen that with... In different cartoons.
Yeah,
Lisa's
true.
Tooth in a Simpsons episode.
Oh, yeah.
The civilization that shows up on Bender as he's being shot through space.
See, I think I find things funny that aren't meant to be funny because I find Titanic funny as a movie. I don't find it any good as a drama or a love story or whatever it's actually meant to be. I find it comedic.
I just found it terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I can't watch it because it's boring. We had to watch it in history class when I was like 15 maybe or 14. I don't know. Whatever it was, however old I was, it was in the UK. But it was so bad. It took forever to get through. So that's why
they didn't pick anything that fun for our history class. We got Schindler's List.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's like, thank you.
To be honest, I think our school only had a very few amount of videos to play anyway. So I think I watched Shrek about 5 times because that's all they had other than Titanic. So, we did watch a very weird version of some Shakespeare adaptation. I can't remember what it was. There was nudity in it, though.
Oh, that could be quite a few different ones.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember what it was. The name Roland rings a bell, though. I can't remember.
Mm.
Doesn't really matter. Completely off completely off topic right now.
Has nothing to do with Voyager.
Shakespearean Voyager, you never know.
No, that would be Next Generation.
I could actually bring in play Shakespeare. Here you go. This is how we're going to make this tangent work. Shakespeare... Plays. Mm-hmm. Plays on Voyager. Muse.
But it didn't take place on Voyager.
I don't care. It's in Voyager.
It's on a planet.
It's on the series. Voyager. It's on the series. It's good enough. But that is by far not my last emotional choice, though. My last emotional choice is I couldn't decide between Night and Resolutions.
Oh. So I know what my choice would be.
Your choice would be Resolution. So I'm going to say Night.
Aww.
Because obviously the ship at the very beginning of the episode, Janeway's all upset and depressed because of what she's gone through. I mean, we've been through that many times. We don't need to touch on that right now. But it's a similar thing.
Because she's in isolation in the Delta Quadrant.
She was in isolation in the Delta Quadrant, exactly. But she's also got nothing to do. There's been nothing happening for ages in that void of space, in that area of space, and there's nothing to do. So kind of brings it back to, I guess, what you would be feeling like in isolation, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone for a lot of emotional episodes, whether it's isolating episodes or warm and fuzzy episodes like The End of Day of Honor.
So what is on the other lists that you came up with?
All right, so we'll go through them, shall we? Oh, very quickly.
Okay.
So as I said, at the beginning of quarantine, you might be joking around and wanting to watch some sort of medical episodes in a way. So I thought the obvious one to watch for a coronavirus outbreak is the virus outbreak of a macrocosm.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you would want to watch
Janeway in a tank top.
I mean, you were with a giant virus. And then I thought, why not watch Scientific Method as well? Because that's, you know, science-y and medical probing. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the disease would be quite good as well. You know, where Harry gets his space herpes. And then I thought the phage, because, I mean, let's face it, the phage is an awful thing that's flying around the Deans, and that is basically COVID-19 of the Delta Quadrant. And then I thought, why not end it up with critical care? Nice little doctor drama.
I knew you
were
going to go there.
Because I like critical care.
I knew you were going to go there.
But I like it.
Oh, but it's just... They were pointing out all these things that are wrong with insurance and everything, and none of it's been fixed yet. And
well, none of it's been fixed in your
I know,
planet.
I know. In our dysfunctional place that we live here.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good over here. You got a quasi mix of like UK and American health, I believe. And it just works. So then we thought my boredom squashes list, because obviously you get to the point where I'm like, I'm just so bored. I need something intense to like get me going. And obviously for me, Year of Hell would be one of those, just because it's an hour and a half of fun.
And it's scruffy Chakotay.
No, I'm not. I'm not frothing over Chakotay in these episodes. I've got other.
But then you're doing it wrong.
You can froth over Chakotay, and I'll take my episodes. See, worst case scenario, and The Killing Game are on that list, so I won't go those. But the Omega Directive, because that's one of my most favorite episodes. The Omega Directive.
Okay, why is that one of your most favorite?
It's just interesting. It's like you've got the whole idea of the Prime Directive is all and we have to do this, but then you've got something all of a sudden that overrides everything to do with the Prime Directive. You've got this new directive that no one else knows about, and it's just a captain's thing, and it's like, oh no, stuff is going to be going down. And then you're just interesting to see how it unfolds, because obviously Janeway's got to try and tackle this by herself, but she can't because she's got no one else around to help her. So she has to go to her crew, which she's not allowed to, so she's breaking the Omega Directive. And the whole idea that you've got a particle that can destroy subspace and not allow warp travel is just exciting. And then at the very end, when you see the particles reach containment, and Seven's like, it's perfection, you know. it's just cool.
I like Janeway breaking the rules, but, you know.
Oh, she's always breaking the rules. We've gone through that before. And then you've got things like Timeless and Deadlock and Dark Frontier. Just episodes that are like, yeah, they just get you going and exciting.
Yeah.
And then it comes to my, I've been in quarantine for too long. My brain can make sense of absolutely anything right now. And that's probably where Threshold starts to make scientific sense.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You need to get out. You need help.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Once you've been in quarantine for that long, Threshold could become sensical.
No.
No? Well, anyway, then I've thought Spirit Folk would probably go quite nicely at that point.
You have literally lost your mind. By the- yes, it's gone.
Darkling. Revulsion.
There's no coming back from this.
No, the Thaw. These are the episodes that are just...
Wait a minute. I do enjoy the Thaw.
I don't like the Thaw. I find it scary. I just don't
like... I like Michael McKean.
I don't. You know?
And I'm scared of clowns so much. Yeah, but he is just a great clown. He's up there with Pennywise and creeping me out.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't like clown music, so I just don't like the music they play at circuses. And then the last one I thought that would go into the crazy, crazy times would be Bride of Chaotica.
That is a fun episode.
It's a fun episode, and you're just like, I need to pick me up. And do you know what? You can then imagine yourself being in the Captain Proton simulations and in a big spider. I mean, I'd probably wear that spider dress, to be honest, like, that J-May wears. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I don't have the body for it, but...
I would be the robot.
You'd be the robot. I would be J-May in a dress.
Oh, definitely. Thank you to Brian Fuller for writing that episode.
It is a lot of fun. And, you know, I've got... Obviously, I have the Voyager DVDs, but the only episode that doesn't work is the Bride of Chaotica one.
No.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan hates that episode as well.
How dare he?
I know.
Shame on him. Shame on him.
He just thinks it's pointless. I mean, yeah, it is totally pointless, but it's just fun, you know? And the fact that some of it's in black and white as well, it's just interesting.
It introduces us to new aliens.
Yeah, and that's the
that
whole
we didn't
point.
Know about.
Seek out new life and new civilizations and everything. But yeah, they were my lists. I put a lot of thought into those. And do you know what? of the how many episodes have I just named? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 2, 3, 4. The 24 episodes I've just named, and they're pretty, like, common episodes, let's face it. They're not, like, Bliss or some weird things like Dreadnought. That
stop hating on Bliss.
I'm not hating on it. I just didn't remember it. We only crossed over on two, worst case scenario in The Killing Game.
Yeah.
I didn't even consider Haunting a Deck 12 or Message in a Bottle.
Or Future's End.
Yeah, I mean, I considered it, but I thought, nah, you know. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
And flip it a little bit.
Okay.
Give me two episodes off the top of your head that you would like to be quarantined and never to be seen again.
Can one of them be a two-parter?
Yeah, if you want. You're going to say workforce, aren't you?
Yes, workforce. Bye-bye.
So we're quarantining
bye-bye.
Workforce. You don't want that one ever to be seen again?
No.
No?
And Unforgettable.
Unforgettable. Why? Why would you want to forget Unforgettable?
Because it is it's forgettable.
Fair enough.
The whole, my species, you don't remember us. I'm not buying it.
No? Is that, this is where it is so forgettable that I forget what happened in it.
She had a romance with Chakotay, and he doesn't remember.
Oh, that one, that's right. Yeah. I was mistaking it for something else. But it was directed by Garrick, though.
I'm not saying the direction was bad, the story was bad.
That and it sat between, I think, a mega directive and another good episode as well. Like, it was sort of just forgettable in the sense that it was stuck in between a run of awesome Living Witness. It was stuck between Omega Directive and Living Witness. Yeah. So it was stuck between episodes that were good.
Making it forgettable.
Yeah. So you're quarantining Unforgettable and Workforce as episodes you'd never want to see ever again, and they get coronavirus and disappear.
Yes.
Okay. I think you know which one I would, one of the ones that I would quarantine.
The Fight.
Oh, God, yeah. Well done. How did you guess that?
I have no idea.
Really? See, I'm trying to remember the episode that the other episode name. I can't remember it off the top of my head. There are two, actually, that it's a tie between that I'd quarantine. But maybe, given you've done a two-parter, technically I can have three because you've done Workforce Part 1, Workforce Part 2.
Oh, fine.
So I get to...
Although the Delaney rule applies and two-parters count as one.
Okay, fine. I will quickly choose. Let me just look up which ones. Because I really don't like Nemesis. And this is where it's going to become that Liam doesn't like ones that make you think and philosophy. And
Liam doesn't like Chakotay episodes is what it is.
No, it's just episodes that I find boring that I know have some kind of philosophical thing that makes people like them. Because I know Zach has said it before, but I don't like Nemesis. Because I just get annoyed with that episode. Like, it's got good parts to it, but it just annoys me.
It's got a lot of Chakotay, so I like it.
Yeah, so the other one I can't work out whether I want to quarantine is Memorial.
Okay.
Because I do not like that tower.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's probably got a load of, like, Star Trek-y feel to it, but to be honest, I watch Star Trek to be entertained sometimes, and it's just not entertaining. Sometimes I don't want to have episodes that make me think about the philosophical implications of Memorial Towers.
It was a little too reminiscent of the episode Remember for me.
Yeah. That one's an all right one.
Yeah, but they were a little too close to each other.
Like, it's recycled,
kind of did this story. Yeah.
It's like the two episodes that B'Elanna feature in that I don't remember the names of. Dreadnought and the other one where she goes and has to save robots. They're just two the same as well. They're like, well, we didn't need one of them. So to me, Memorial we didn't need, whereas I quite liked Remember.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick, though, I would quarantine The Fight and Nemesis. They're probably my two least favourite episodes. And maybe there is an episode of Chakotay as well where he's like finds out about some aliens from long-distant Earth time or whatever.
Tattoo,
yeah. I thought that
you're getting rid of all the Chakotay episodes.
Well, they didn't write him any good. I mean, you'd just probably put him in a porno or something and you'd be happy. But
no. It would be classy.
Well, there's such thing as classy porno, isn't there?
No, it's not.
Fine.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Suzanne, I know that we've been joking about quarantine and so on and so forth and going through the different emotions, but it is a real thing that people are going through. And if you're listening to us at this time and any other shows on Trek FM, we do hope you're doing okay. And there are places to call if you need help as well.
There are, or just, I'm always online. Feel free to message me if you just need to talk to somebody. I'm there.
Me too. I mean, I'll probably make absolute no sense because, let's face it, I'm the idiot on this particular show and on Edge too. So, but yeah, honestly, we don't mean to make light of quarantine. We just wanted to give something fun to listen to in this episode, and hopefully you've enjoyed it.
And if you have, let us know. If you haven't, let us know. Either way.
Yeah, exactly. Or let us know what episodes you've been watching in quarantine on the Babel Conference. I mean...
Oh, definitely. What are your picks? What did we miss?
Yeah, and if you disagree with me with wanting to quarantine the Fight and Nemesis and possibly Tattoo and possibly Memorial, you know what? I don't really care because I don't like them.
It's because you're crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it's been interesting sharing our picks for quarantine episodes, but that isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. Here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
This place, like, it seemed like it was very easy for him to just go. It seems like, you know, the Federation and, you know, Picard and Riker and them have that mentality kind of like we would, where they're like, yeah, go get your dad.
And I don't think there's a scene where he asks permission.
There isn't.
He just seems to kind of automatically get permission and just go and do it, which implies that the Enterprise is going to be there for quite a while.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because the Enterprise is docked there and they have to deal with the aqueducts.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
So the, like, it says in my little research that I did, because then I got stuck in a Wikipedia hole about Aboriginal astronomy. It says...
rabbit holes.
Karawirapari, which is the Aboriginal or Kaurna word, sorry, for the River Torrens, which runs through the Adelaide CBD, was thought to be a reflection of the Milky Way known as the Wadley Pari, so named because the bright stars on the edge were thought to be the campfires on the side of the river.
I like it.
The Line, a Star Trek Picard podcast.
And then also anything with Patrick. Anytime I got to act across from him, I just think my acting was 1,000 times better. I was more focused, but at the same time, more distracted too. There were a lot of scenes where I'd be sitting there and, everyone would just stare at me because I'd be forgetting my lines, because I was just so, you know, like so absorbed and immersed in Patrick's acting or Alison Pill's acting. I'd just forget that I was, you know, that I had a job to do.
Yes, I can understand that.
Almost like you were watching him on the screen or something, right?
Yeah, exactly like that. And then there was a lot of times where I'd be like, oh, am I meant to speak? And they'd be like, yeah, it's your turn. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. They just found it funny, though.
The Orb.
Well, I do think, though, that you can have Section 31 defeated and it not be a black and white thing, because, you know, Section 31's desire to completely eradicate all religions because they think it's divisive is... definitely their point of view.
Yeah.
But it's also against everything the Federation is supposed to believe in, right? And so They are legitimately undermining Federation values by doing this. And so I think that's the dichotomy that you want.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop podcasts app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. Please leave us a star rating and written review. It helps us jump up the charts and find more listeners. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Apparently we're charting in Brazil. Don't you know?
Nice. Very nice.
Some Brazilian boys listening to us.
Okay, I know a few words in
Portuguese.
Portuguese. They speak Portuguese, yes.
Yeah.
It won't make any sense, but I heard it all the time when I was a costume character working at SeaWorld. Ai, que lindo, tira foto. And I think it's something like, so cute, can I get a photo or a picture?
What were you dressed up as?
But,
the whale?
I was Baby Shamu.
Oh my God. Really? When?
Oh my gosh. Back in high school. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
I was Baby Shamu. Yeah.
Baby Shamu Williamson. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact, choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That'll come right to Suzanne. It won't come to me because I'm not put on there yet. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Suzanne, when you're not being promoted to cosplay the whale from The Voyage Home, where can we find you on the internet?
I am wearing my George and Gracie t-shirt.
You are.
I am.
What a whale-themed day. What a whale of a time.
Oh... Well, you can find me on a recent episode of Literary Treks, Literary Treks 301.
Oh.
You can also find me on Facebook at the Babel Conference, or you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. Liam?
Yes?
When you're not busy dressing up as Queen Arachnea during this quarantine, where can our listeners find you on the internet and around the network?
Well, I've never tried before, but I feel like I'd have issues in maneuvering certain parts. So I might be in hospital after
tuck it.
So you can find me on The Edge, Trek FM's dedicated Star Trek podcast for Discovery, with Brandy and Nick. We've got an episode coming out probably a couple of days after this comes out where we do a little rewrite of things, and it sort of went a bit mad like you'd expect us to on The Edge.
I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to this.
Well, you've had a little sneak peek of what we've done. I lose it in it. I still haven't edited that though, so I probably should start doing it. And you can also find me on Twitter at LS74656 and on the Babel Conference. So if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm if you did not get it the first time and the thousands of other times you've listened to it on Trek FM. But yeah, you can get all the details. You can gain a producer credit for To The Journey and join one of our wonderful associate producers, and also of any of our other Trek FM shows like The Edge. Please become an associate producer of The Edge as well. That'll be quite pleasant. And more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month, and we really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you will find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
A great big thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continued support of Trek FM and To The Journey. Well, join us next time, where we will be seeing just how good Chakotay looks in the Queen Arachnea costume. But until then, this has been To The Journey.
Suzanne, don't ban me from that dressing room. I need to see it too.